Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! How we doing on this Friday morning of Labor Day weekend? Chris McMonagle filling in for Evan and Tiki here in the afternoon on this Friday. As we get ready to, really, this will be the last Friday. We get ready to end summer, and this will be the last Friday without football. But we're going to start with some football. We'll get to the baseball. The Mets had a great win yesterday. The Yankees lose another series to Washington, start another one with St. Louis. As we get closer to those games, we'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the Giants as well. But I want to start with the uphill battle that the New York Jets continue to face. And we didn't talk about this much yesterday as I filled in for Evan and Tiki with Sean yesterday. And, you know, I was just listening a lot to Moose. Does a great job. Love Moose. Good to see Moose. Don't see Moose much. The negativity surrounding, I think, the football teams right now, and even though there's more optimism, clearly, with the New York Jets and the New York Giants, and sure, there's some negativity, as we heard yesterday, with Moose, that the coach feels like he's coaching for his job with the Giants and different things. We know who's coaching and GMing for their jobs with the New York Jets. And the problem is with the New York Jets is they continue to fight an uphill battle that I've talked about a lot, and it's being the Jets. It's being the losingest franchise, if losingest is a word. I'm pretty sure it's not. The most losing franchise in not only the NFL, but in all of professional sports. And having this 13-year drought of being a playoffless, lackluster organization who does everything wrong. And not only do they have to compete with the Miami Dolphins, and not only do they have to compete with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs if they're looking to win a championship, but they have to compete with themselves and the perception that whenever anything is up for grabs, anytime there's a problem, anytime something is said incorrectly, anytime there's an issue, it's the Jets being the Jets. And so when we look at all the different things we're upset about this team that, quite frankly, let's speak pretty plainly about it. As I mentioned, we'll talk about the baseball. And yes, the Yankees are a game up, and we can be frustrated with them, and certainly, but they have a legitimate chance to win a championship. That's fine. The Mets, big win. If they make it into the playoffs, you could argue they're a dangerous team. But we always like to talk about who's that next team that can bring a championship to this city that hasn't had one in a long time. And there is no doubt, despite the fact that it's been 13 years without playoffs, there is no question to me that right at the top of the list, the New York Jets are right there as the team that is built, without question, to bring a championship, or built as well as any other team in this city, to bring a championship back to New York. And so when you can't quibble with the roster, because let's be honest, even the Hassan Reddick situation we're going to get into here, and we're frustrated with how it's handled, and we blame them for the miscommunication, and they should have ironed out a deal before making the trade, or shouldn't have even made the trade. And you know why we say that? Because when we look at the roster, they don't even need him. We're going to get to the Giants at 888-808-1019, and now it looks like they might bring in Adoree Jackson. And what's the difference? They desperately need Adoree Jackson. They desperately need another cornerback. They desperately need someone of competence and experience in the defensive backfield to hopefully sustain, you know, any kind of option of winning when it comes to a pass-happy NFL league. And you look at the Jets, and sure, Adoree Jackson is Hassan Reddick is someone who's had a lot of sacks in this league. No one's had more over the last 4 years. He's a legitimate pass rusher and a legitimate player. But when you look at the options this Jet team has, part of the reason we're frustrated with the Jets and how they've handled it, and part of the reason why I heard Jerry this morning and people are frustrated with the way Joe Douglas has talked about it publicly and frustrated with the coach for not being on the phone with him and trying to get him here. And why we're all frustrated is because it seems like a headache that doesn't even necessarily need to be here, because the Jets are talented enough to still be someone who could win this division, still be a team that can compete for a championship, still be a team that I believe is headed for the AFC championship game without him. So when you can't quibble with the roster because it's that good, you have to turn to how they handle the situations. You have to turn to how they handle the quarterback who has been a four-time MVP, a quarterback who is as good as anyone we've seen play the position a quarterback who consistently leads his teams to 12, 13 win seasons, division championships, NFC championships, albeit not enough Super Bowls as you would like from someone as talented as him, but a guaranteed veteran, unbelievable, one of the greats to ever play the position, when he decides to go to Egypt, we got to quibble about how what the coach said and how they could have made a story when there didn't have to be a story and all this and all we complain about with the New York Jets. And the fact of the matter is, Aaron Rodgers is here, and when he is here, he does lead your franchise. And when he is here, everything he does, no matter what the coach says or how they handle it, is going to be a story. Whether he's possibly running for vice president, whether he's going on vacation, whether he's going to catch a Ranger game, whether he's exchanging necklaces with his teammates, whatever he's doing, it's a story. When you're the New York Jets and you've brought in the savior to the franchise. So you got to quibble with everything. And now the story that came out yesterday about an unnamed agent, and I wonder whose agent it could be, who calls the room a disaster, and that Aaron Rodgers has been given such control, and it's just such an unbelievable crap show at Florham Park with the New York Jets. It's absolute garbage. I don't believe that story for a second. Does Aaron Rodgers have control? Of course he does. Did Tom Brady with the Buccaneers? You bet your ass he did. Of course he did. When you bring in someone, when you're the Jets and you are playing Zach Wilson and you are throwing parties and your team is wearing matching shirts that Mike White has taken over the starting position, when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he runs the show. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when you look at other teams in this league, quarterbacks have control. Now, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that control. Patrick Mahomes was a rookie who came in with one of the great head coaches in the league. Tom Brady needed to leave Bill Belichick to get control. Sure, there are instances where there are great quarterbacks who came up through a system who don't have the level of control. But when you bring in an Aaron Rodgers, the idea that he's allowed to have control as some sort of negative thing, or that it's perceived a negative that the head coach isn't the man in charge, or that the head coach has to be the leader, or as Delvin Cook apparently said, there was no game plan when Aaron Rodgers went down. There is no game plan for losing Aaron Rodgers for the entire year. There is no game plan for losing Patrick Mahomes for the entire year. And if you expect the coach to pull miracles, then that is somehow some indication that he is not a real head coach. And you look at Robert Saleh, and how could you tell me he's a good head coach? Well, he's been given the worst quarterback room in the NFL for his entire career here. And if you think that doesn't matter, just look at the different coaches. Look at Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals. He was considered a fool until Joe Burrow got here. And then Joe Burrow plays. They go to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow gets hurt. What happens? This is the NFL. You need the quarterback. And I'm not saying that we know that Robert Saleh is a great head coach. What I'm saying is I have a hell of a hard time making judgments on a head coach who's been given a situation that's unwinnable in. Unwinnable. And we talk about that Delvin Cook quote, and we talk about the idea that the Jets had no plan for when Aaron Rodgers went down. Sure. They allowed the backup quarterback. We talked about what a disaster that was to allow Zach Wilson, a player that the team had no faith in whatsoever, to go down. And be the backup quarterback if Rodgers went down. Did they come back and win that game against Buffalo? I believe they did. Did they beat the previous undefeated Philadelphia Eagles? I believe they did. Now, did they go to the playoffs? No. With that quarterback situation, as good as this defensive roster is, unattainable. The playoffs are not attainable with that quarterback. That's what I believe. But now Aaron Rodgers, who apparently, you know, runs everything and it's a major problem. Well, with his teammates, they absolutely adore him. But they're also not afraid to challenge him, as we've seen during camp here, with him and Garrett Wilson getting in each other's face. That kind of thing is good. He's the leader. He's the one they believe in. But when there's a problem, there's conversations to be had. When there's someone who needs his arm wrapped around him. When Mekhi Becton needs his arm wrapped around him, there's Aaron Rodgers. When there's a problem and Garrett Wilson, the best offensive player, are right there with Breece Hall. as talented as this roster is, when there's an issue, they have no problem stepping up and having a legitimately tough conversation with this quarterback. Everything I have seen from this Jet team, whether it's the roster, how they react to the quarterback believing in this team, the quarterback doubling down on his coaching staff, doubling down on the people he believes in when he joined this organization, the way they've performed, the way he still looks, the way the team rallies around him, as good as this defense can be, everything I see about the New York Jets screams championship contender. Everything I see. And so we can quibble about whether or not the coach is the real, you know, alpha male in this relationship between the quarterback. Here's a clue. He doesn't have to be. And we can quibble about what's said in the post-game or the interview room by the GM on what's going on with a situation with a pass rusher that he traded for, and that right now, absolutely, he should be in the room. And it's a failing of the Jets that he's not, absolutely. But we don't know everything that happened in the situation, and clearly something went wrong between when the trade was made and when he decided to hold out. But here's the fact of the matter is, he's a luxury. He's a luxury. That right now, as you get ready to start this season, and everybody's worried about the San Francisco game, I'll tell you what, they just had an issue with Brandon Ayuk, who they solved that issue, but he hasn't practiced at all. He's just getting back into the swing of things. You got Trent Williams, one of the best left tackles in the sport, still holding out. I'll tell you this right now. I like the Jets week one, and I like the Jets and this early part of the schedule. And if the Jets get off to a good start and the Jets start playing winning football and Aaron Rodgers lasts more than four snaps and you have this new revamped offensive line to go along with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers and this defense with Quinnen Williams up front and the best cornerback tandem in the league in the defensive backfield, and you start winning games, no one's going to care that Haason Reddick isn't here. One, because he probably will be. And two, because they don't need him. That's how good the Jets are. As we sit here today, the Giants are in desperate need of Adoree Jackson. And the Jets don't need their star pass rusher they traded for. Is it embarrassing? Sure. Is it part of the Jets being the Jets? Sure. Does it change their ability to win? Does it impact them to such a level that they are no longer a team destined for greatness? And I believe in this GM, and I believe in this head coach to some level. Are questions out? Of course. Have we learned everything we need to know about Saleh? No, we haven't. But he hasn't been provided an opportunity to honestly go out there and win. So when you tell me Aaron Rodgers runs the room, yes, and it's not a problem. And you tell me right now that the head coach hasn't gone out and tried to recruit a defensive pass rusher who... He knew what he was getting into. The idea that Robert Saleh should be on the phone trying to sell Haason Reddick. Haason Reddick knows exactly who he is, the defense he played for. He knew the team he was coming into. This is a guy who's sitting out losing $50,000 a day. The head coach is going to call him and say, hey, you don't understand. You're playing for a really good defense. Why don't you come on? He understands. He's making a business decision, which is well within his rights. And it's an uncomfortable situation. And you know what? If this happened to the Chiefs, or if this happened to a winning franchise, if this happened to the Eagles, who this was happening to the Eagles in some respect, Haason Reddick would be getting a lot of the blame, and not the New York Jets and not that franchise, because they're allowed to make mistakes. And they're allowed to have to cut Tony. And they're allowed to have all kinds of problems in their receiving room. And they're allowed to have all those problems. Why? One, because they have a great quarterback. And two, they win. And so the New York Jets not only have to win for their fan base, who hasn't seen a championship since 1969, not only to keep their jobs, not only to make it palatable to trade for Aaron Rodgers and bring in this circus, not only to justify that, not only to justify everything else, but to get rid of this dark cloud that hangs over the franchise when anything goes wrong or anything is said that can be questioned, it is, and they're to blame. And the fact of the matter is this team is too talented to allow that to affect them. And I think when you look at the early part of this schedule, and you look at the talent on this roster, Hassan Reddick is making a bad bet because this is a good football team. And he's hoping that they lose some games and Brock Purdy throws the ball all over the place and this defense struggles. And guys like me will get on the radio and start screaming about what was supposed to be and what is. And the Jets will be forced to make some sort of drastic change in their opinion on whether or not to negotiate him without being in the room or give him a long-term contract. When the fact of the matter is, as this early season goes on, the Jets are going to win football games. As long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they are going to win football games. And the idea that they finally have a competent backup only does one thing. It covers the team in case of minor injury. But here's the bottom truth that goes for the Jets. It goes for the Chiefs. It goes for the Dolphins. It goes for the Bills. It goes for almost every team in the NFL. If Aaron Rodgers falls down four snaps in and he's gone for the year, they're in trouble. And the idea that there should be some backup plan for that, no other team in the league has one. But we get on the Jets for it because the Jets are the Jets. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little football because I am pumped for this New York Jets season to get underway. I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of blaming this one. I'm tired of being frustrated with that one. I'm tired of doubting this one. I'm ready to actually see what this Aaron Rodgers plan is going to look like because I believe it to be a winning one. We'll get to the Giants as well as they hopefully, I haven't heard if it's been official yet, but hopefully they do bring in Adoree Jackson because they are in desperate need of a second cornerback. And we'll get into Daniel Jones and everything else that goes along with the Giants as we get ready for Labor Day weekend and the start of the football season next Thursday. There was obviously still baseball to talk about as we await the Yankee lineup and how we can scream about it. And the Mets will be in the worst position possible that any baseball team can be in. Come later today. We'll get to it all. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. That's a tough one. My probably overvalued sense of self with my singing ability. Won't try that. Paul McCartney, I am not. But I am Chris McMonagle, and I am filling in for Evan and Tiki here this afternoon on this Labor Day Friday as we get set for the weekend. No dancer. And I'm looking forward to football. We are looking forward to football. Baseball is still here, don't get me wrong. And this playoff, I'm not ready to put baseball away, no doubt about it. And we'll talk a little bit about it coming up. And again, the Mets are in a miserable position that it just sucks. So we'll get to the Mets as well. And the Yankees, we'll see what the lineup has to bring. A couple thoughts on the Yankees. And I do want to just reintroduce my thoughts on yesterday and how the Yankees are handling this last month of the season. We'll get to that as well. But we start with the Jets and how I believe this is a team that is absolutely going to the AFC Championship. And I think Aaron Rodgers coming here, being all in with the Jets, and I know he missed a couple of practices, no one cares. No one cares. Anyone who cared then was faking it. Anyone who cares now continues to lie to themselves. No one cares that he missed those two practices. This offense is his. He knows it backwards and forwards. That's why the terrible offensive coordinator is still here, and I'm open to the idea that he's not a good offensive coordinator. But he works well with Rodgers, and he won two MVPs with the man. And I want Rodgers thinking about one thing, staying healthy. I don't want him worried about learning a new offense, learning new terminology, even if he's a cagey veteran who would pick it up quickly. I want him as comfortable as possible in an offense you know works for him with the amount of talent he has around him, a new revamped offensive line, and to go along with a defense that, no, is not the 85 Bears, as they tried to tell you last year, but is still a top three or four, bar none, defense in this league without Hassan Reddick. This is a loaded Jets team, and I'm tired. Even if it's their own fault sometimes, even if they don't do enough to get around Jets gonna jet, if they start winning, all of this goes away. If they start winning, they're allowed to stick their foot in their mouth every once in a while, like every organization does. And it needs to start right now. And I think football, more than any other sport, that's not really news breaking because of the nature of how many games they play. But I think the beginning of the year, and we've seen it especially as Giant fans, which I am one, ruin or buoy seasons. And the Giants in particular have absolutely, over the last handful of years, been a victim of the beginnings of seasons where they are just dead upon arrival. And you can build momentum. A solid football team can become a very dangerous football team with a good start. And a solid football team can become a bad football team with a bad start. It is very difficult. You see it sometimes, like the Eagles are a perfect example, undefeated until the Jet game, and then it just fell apart on them. It happens. But for the most part, you build momentum at the beginning of your year. And you start playing that game in a 17-game season. You win your first 6 of 7 games. Suddenly, you know, what you have to do to have that fall apart is play awful football. Vice versa, you lose 5 of your first 7. It's an uphill climb that no matter how good you are, sometimes it's impossible to figure out. And this Jets schedule sets them up perfect. I am huge on the beginning of seasons, and I love the Jets schedule to start the year. I know there's some travel. I know they're playing the Niners out the gate, who is as talented as any team in football.
All gas, no break.
All gas, no break. That's at least the start of the year. Start with the gas pedal and start quelling and quieting all this nonsense. And I think Aaron Rodgers is just the guy who doesn't care enough to get it done. Now, does he need to shut up about certain things? Of course. Does he need to focus on football? Absolutely. And what he really needs to do is focus on football and stop, you know, lecturing the organization on not focusing on football. That's the one real critique I've had of Aaron Rodgers, is his hypocrisy when he's scolding the organization for not doing things only about winning. And he's out there talking about COVID, talking about running for vice president, talking about, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and all the other nonsense that he's done himself, talking on Pat McAfee every week. Hey, he's out there creating nonsense left and right, and then he has the nerve to get on a podium and says, well, this organization needs to focus on just winning. That, I'll give you, hypocrisy at its highest level. But other than that, he's been all in, he still has it, and the New York Jets are as dangerous as any team this side of maybe the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL. 888-808-1019. Let's get to those phone calls. Lou in Astoria kicks us off today, the afternoon. What's up, Lou?
Greetings, how you doing?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I'm excited listening to you guys, especially Moose. He's one of my favorite hosts.
Moose is the best.
I'm not putting him down. Yeah, he thinks that we are going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was, to me, the greatest quarterback that ever played the game.
Okay.
Regardless of how he did it, regardless of how he do in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think
he at least won 2. Okay.
I think you can make the case Sunday to Sunday that he's as good as anyone who's ever played. Sure.
And you know what? If he would have had a great coach, I don't know how many he would have won, but that makes a difference in football.
Sure.
But anyway, let me go to Rodgers.
Yeah.
Rodgers has done the same thing. And you're a Giant fan. I want you to remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Rodgers going against the Giants at home, where the coach was almost bleeding from his face. And he blew a game that he should have had. He was throwing receivers. I mean, the receivers were wide open, and he choked. What makes you believe
that
with all the pressure in New York? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think not that it's a big deal, but I think you've got the games mixed up. The one where Tom Coughlin's face was bleeding was the NFC Championship game in 07. That was against Brett Favre.
It wasn't against Denver.
No, it was what are we talking about? Green Bay.
Sure, that was a very cold day.
You're talking about Green Bay.
I mean, Green Bay.
It was against Green Bay, but it was against Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers.
No.
Yes, listen.
Roger, I'm telling you right now, Roger played against the Giants.
Yes, he did.
In the
playoffs. Yes, he did.
Okay?
Twice he actually beat them.
He played very
second
lousy, okay? But my situation is this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
He's going to be God. I hope he does it. He's going to be God if he ever even put us in the playoffs. If he was a Super Bowl, forget about it. It's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes you think that at his age, that he's going to be better than he was before? Explain that to me, please.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be better than he was before. I think this team is better than teams he's had in Green Bay, other than the one you're talking about.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious, yes.
Green Bay was unbelievable.
You know why? Because they had Aaron Rodgers. That's why they were unbelievable.
Exactly, but they didn't escape. I mean, the guy was on target.
Right.
When it comes to the playoffs,
I think he's playing with a defense as good as any defense he's ever played with in Green Bay.
Well, how do you figure that?
Tell me a defense that was better.
How many sacks did the defense the Jets had last year? And it was supposed to be one of the best. I follow the team, and you do too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, how many sacks are they going to get if their offense actually puts up points team to throw the football?
How many fumbles did they create? You remember any?
Yeah, no, listen, the defense is as talented as any. Do you remember how many fumbles the defense had in Green Bay? We're talking, I'm telling you, he was the reason Green Bay was winning a lot. They had decent teams. They had good wide receivers. Devontae Adams is one of the great wide receivers in the league, no doubt. I'm not saying they were void of talent. But I'm saying this, I believe, with the offensive weapons of Wilson and Breece Hall, the defense and all the talent it has, and the defensive backfield in particular, I think they are as good as any team he's ever played for. So now, when I tell you he's 2 years removed from winning back-to-back MVPs, last year was a non-starter. I get it. He was hurt. The year before that, he had a thumb injury and had a down year. He's 2 years removed from winning back-to-back MVPs at a later age, when he had down seasons in between his MVP years. I still believe, at this age, that he's in good enough shape and can throw a football and is talented enough, and we've seen it. I mean, I haven't personally seen it, but we've seen it at camp. I listened to Connor Hughes and everybody else. I only mentioned Connor Hughes because he covers both teams, and I mentioned him earlier when he was on with Moose yesterday. But we've seen countless guys talk about how great he looks at practice. I mean, I think he's still got the ability to play. He's in an offense he knows. He's surrounded by arguably the best running back and one of the better young wide receivers in the league. He's got a revamped offensive line. He's got a secondary wide receiver with Williams. Hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go. And he's got a defense that, while it's not the 85 Bears, is pretty damn good. And again, last year they played with Zach Wilson. The level of belief in Zach Wilson from this team was a joke. They have no faith in Zach Wilson. None. They were throwing parties to put Mike White in. They were matching up. I was just in Disney. They were dressed like a bunch of people there for Bob's 50th birthday Disney trip. They all wear the same shirts. They walk around in a group. That was the Jets when Mike Williams was named quarterback. Mike White. That's how excited they were to get rid of Zach Wilson. And then last year they were forced to go back to him when they had a glimpse, a taste, all camp long, of watching Aaron Rodgers go to work. And then they had to go back to a quarterback they know doesn't work. Now they have Aaron Rodgers again. The level of belief and talent on this team is good enough to win. I don't think he has to be the greatest Aaron Rodgers he's ever been. I don't think he has to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. But I think he will, without question, be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And that is good enough with the rest of this roster to be as dangerous as anybody. That's what I believe. Stan in Westport. What's up, Stan?
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, your monologue was really great, C-Mac, and your lead into the calls. Let me tell you something. Losing this, I'm no English professor, but losing this has to be a word, because winning this is a word. So that's winningest, why I look at
losingest. Yeah, I guess it just doesn't cut. It doesn't roll off the tongue. Once I said it, it just felt wrong. You know.
I get it. Listen, I think your analysis on the Jets, I'm a Giants fan as well.
Yeah.
I think the analysis is spot on. Look, if you look at Rodgers' career, he's always been a bit out there. But if you look at the stats, I mean, they're overwhelming. The guy is really, 48 touchdowns and 5 picks. Come on. And that's like you hit on it. He did that in his later years.
Yeah.
Not like
he won
prime.
2 MVPs in his later years. It's not like he had a prime. We haven't seen it. He had his prime. He had a couple of down years. He got the new offense and he got, the new head coach. And then he had back-to-back MVPs again in his later 30s. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is done. I really don't. And for someone who claims that they were, right on the verge of retiring, I honestly don't think he would come back just to be a shell of himself. Like, I at least he believes it. Now, we'll see. The proof is in the pudding. He's got to go out there and play. And it's not impossible that he's washed. It's not impossible that he's not the same. It's not impossible this is all a big disaster. Of course, that's on the table. It's the Jets, right? That's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to get rid of that impending feeling of doom, that this is all just a big facade and Aaron Rodgers sucks and it's going to be a disaster. But
listen, I believe the injury even... The injury even helps him because he didn't take all those hits he might have taken. You know what I'm saying?
Fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, we'll get into this with Daniel Jones. He's got to be better. And what got him hurt, because everyone says, oh, you got to make sure you got a good offensive line for him. You got to make sure you protect him, which clearly, I mean, you could say that about every quarterback in the league.
Sure.
But, like, he's been very smart, as the great quarterbacks are. Tom Brady is. Like, Tom Brady played with offensive lines that were just average. He knows when to get rid of the football. Like, that is the key part of it. And on the play he got hurt, it wasn't like he got hurt on the fourth game of the season after getting pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded, and then he got driven into the ground one too many times and something broke. That's not what happened.
100%.
He got on one play, avoiding the rush that he's going to have to do five or six times a game, no matter what his offensive line looks like. He pulled he tore his Achilles, avoiding the rush on a play that was designed specifically to get rid of the ball quickly. He's got to be smarter than that. He can't allow himself at this age to prolong plays and take hits. Get rid of the ball quick, right? The next play is sometimes the best play, the old cliche. He's got to make sure that's part of his game as good as it's ever been. He can't be taking hits. He's got to get rid of the ball quickly. If it's not there, get rid of it. If there's time, there's time. But on a specific play that he got hurt, the offensive lineman went down specifically to get hands down, to get the ball out of the defensive lineman, to get the ball out quickly. If it's not there, still get rid of the football. Don't adjust and try and make a play. So there's some of that. And by no means am I saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the best version we've ever seen of Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying, he's still damn good. And I believe in the rest of this roster. Now, Joe Douglas has had issues, all right? Some drafts have been excellent. Some drafts not so much. He's been terrific on trades for the most part up until this Haason Reddick. But ultimately, he's been here for a long time now. And they haven't won. And this coach, same thing. Again, I want to make this clear. I am not telling you that I think Robert Saleh is a great head coach. If I had to make a decision right now on the information we've been given, I would tell you he's not a very good head coach. But all I'm saying is we talk about it as if we know. We talk about it as if he's not a leader of men because he's allowed Aaron Rodgers to come in here and be a leader. He has to be. He has to be. When you bring in Aaron Rodgers, there's no other way to do it. When you bring in Tom Brady, he's got to be the guy. You don't come in here, have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers come in and put on some sort of show and belittle him in front of the team just to establish dominance. Like, what do you... It's a collaboration. He's on a different level. Same thing with Aaron Judge right now. I was going to get into this a little bit later. Like, Aaron Judge has more say in the team than anybody else. That doesn't mean that Aaron Boone doesn't have control. Clearly, we all know Brian Cashman has control. But Aaron Judge is a significant enough member, captain of the team, where if he thinks Verdugo's the guy, and by the way, we all get upset about Verdugo, Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with it. I mean, Aaron Judge had a lot. When I'm doing this Aaron comparison, it's a dangerous slippery slope.
Dicey
situation.
Very, very dicey
situation. But, like, Aaron Judge wanted Verdugo? Verdugo. I'm concerned watching them last night, and we'll get into this a little bit later, at, you know, him and Rizzo, best friends, best dog friends, wives are best friends, out at the U.S. Open together, that we might see Rizzo being the first baseman of this team next year because that's what Aaron Judge wants. Aaron Judge has control like no other player. That doesn't make it wrong. And in football, yeah, it's a different dynamic. In football, the head coach is far more important than a baseball manager. Far more important, no doubt. But this is a quarterback league. And if you have a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in 12 years at the time of Aaron Rodgers coming here, and they're a laughingstock, and the most memorable moment in the last decade is a butt fumble. When Aaron Rodgers comes into that situation, when Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee and lights the world on fire by saying, I intend to play, and I intend to play for the Jets. Yeah, he comes here and he runs the show. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. The Jets are not in the wrong for handling it that way. Now, it might not work out, but that's the only way. That's the deal you make. Same thing in the NBA. It didn't work out for the... It's worked out in multiple situations. Miami won championships. The Nets, you're sold. KD and Kyrie come here. There's no other choice. They pick the head coach. They run things. Sometimes it blows up. Sometimes it brings you championships. And we'll find out the New York Jets. Year one, incomplete. Because we didn't even get to see it for more than four snaps. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know about you, but Aaron Rodgers running out onto that field in the spotlight, 9/11, holding that American flag, leading the Jets into a new era of football, gave me goosebumps. And I need to see that. We need to see it before we call it a failure. And I know there's a lot less pomp and circumstance surrounding the team this year than last year. Last year was very much, oh, this is great, Aaron Rodgers. The teammates love him. There's so much belief in the room. Look at him at camp because of Hard Knocks, obviously. And this year there's been less pomp and circumstance, which is probably good. But for me, the expectations have not diminished. They've only grown because I think the roster is better.
On the note of about Robert Saleh being a good head coach or not a good head coach.
Yeah.
And the importance of quarterbacks.
Yes.
Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian, and Tim Boyle.
Yep.
Those are the quarterbacks that Robert Saleh has had.
Correct.
I don't know if he's a good head coach, but he's never had a real quarterback.
No.
And don't tell me that Mike White is a real quarterback. He's not.
No.
Don't tell me Zach Wilson is a real quarterback. He might be the worst quarterback in the history of the league.
Completely agree. Look what I mean, listen. Belichick with Tom Brady. Belichick after Tom Brady. Right? I mean, look, Greg Popovich with Tony Parker and Tim Duncan. Popovich in the last 3 years. Like, you need great players. And specifically in the NFL, you need a quarterback. You're not going to win. Right? And they won a handful of games. I don't expect anything from that team once Rodgers goes down. And you look at it, it goes around the league. Like this Dalvin Cook comment that Moose brought up at the end of his show. So Dalvin Cook, obviously, now with the Cowboys, played for the Jets last year. Quoted, I guess, recently, yesterday, today, as saying, well, when Aaron Rodgers went down, it just felt like there was no emergency plan. There was no plan B. And it was kind of just like, well, what do we do now? And that was it. And I guess some might see that as some sort of damning quote for the Jets. I don't. What is plan B when your superstar quarterback goes down? Now, are there other teams and franchises more equipped to handle it? Sure. I guess that's fair. Would the Chiefs be more of a winning team and a better product than we saw from the Jets last year? Maybe. They ain't winning. They ain't really winning. Patrick Mahomes goes down with an Achilles tear four snaps in, and God forbid, we all love watching him play. You think they're winning? You think that the Chiefs are a winning franchise? You think the Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game? You're nuts. Look at Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. He plays, they win. He gets hurt, they don't. It's that simple. Does that mean that Zach Taylor's a good head coach when he has the quarterback and a bad head coach when he doesn't? Robert Saleh might be a terrible head coach. We are going to find out. We don't know. Because he's been given no real opportunity to win.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.